T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Paul McCartney last night was much more than a concert. He opened his 2019 North American tour in the Smoothie King Center last night. And for many in the sold-out arena, it was more of a religious experience than it was just a concert. At 76 years old, Paul McCartney's energy and stamina were noteworthy. And it's fair to say that Sir Paul does not act his age. Prior to McCartney's entrance, the naked stage gave a hint that this was not a concert that would be dominated by lights and special effects. The tiered stage was black and simplistic. And that set the tone that this would be a night that was really about the essence of Paul McCartney. His slender 5'11 frame walked onto the stage with no music, no fanfare. His band followed him in a very nonchalant fashion, which defied his position at the top of rock royalty. A relaxed and confident presence really defined who he is. His movements back and forth to the front of the stage to the black grand piano in a raised area to the left of the stage was just a part of how confident he was on stage. Paul McCartney came out dressed in black skinny jeans, a light pink button-down shirt, and a blue jacket. And after a few songs, Sir Paul removed his jacket, and that inspired the audience to applaud. They're applauding him removing his jacket. And Paul McCartney gestured to the audience as if to say, "Hey, come on, I'm just taking off my jacket. This is no big deal." McCartney did say that would be the only wardrobe change in the entire show, and he lived up to that promise. His outfit was casual, and while the decision of what to wear was probably a calculated decision, the simplicity added to this being a night of the essence of Paul McCartney. His band was dressed in all black and blended into the staging landscape. Sir Paul is setting the standard for what it means to embrace the natural process of maturing. His hair is gray. His face has maintained the characteristics of a young Paul McCartney that we were introduced to in 1964. He still has those expressive eyes that seem to say something even when he's not singing or talking. And he appears to have matured to 76 years old without the aid of Botox or facial surgery. Last night, Paul McCartney personified the best of that young rebellious generation that fueled the Beatles and the British Invasion over 50 years ago, and who that generation is today. Sir Paul's voice, and he's still hitting high notes, his appearance, his stage presence gave baby boomers and every generation permission to get older with the knowledge that you'll never have to lose who you really are. The show opened with Sir Paul walking on stage, gesturing to the audience, stepping to the microphone, and stroking out those all-too-familiar chords for A Hard Day's Night. The audience's response was explosive. By opening with one of the early 1964 Beatles hits, Paul McCartney let everybody know that he was not the snobbish entertainer that wants to focus on his solo career, and that his career with the group that launched him into stardom was also very important. Now, I admit I was surprised by the second song Paul McCartney played. It was Junior's Farm. This was a single from the Nashville-inspired album, and, you know, I wouldn't have missed it if he hadn't played Junior's Farm, but, I mean, at least he played it early on. And following Junior's Farm, Sir Paul did Can't Buy Me Love, another Beatles song from 1964. When he played Can't Buy Me Love, the brass section first appeared. And during that song, they appeared not on the stage. The first time the brass section appeared, they came out of the portal of Section 112, and the spotlight was focused on them, and they were performing among the crowd. It should be no surprise that the concert last night was tight. But also it had a feel of being very spontaneous. Paul McCartney epitomized earned confidence. And he was quirky with his moves and his gestures, almost in a very childish way. But there was no doubt that Sir Paul genuinely loved the audience and the moment to be with the audience last night. Actual videos and pictures draped the backdrop of the stage, and animation ranged from modern to Yellow Submarine, Sergeant Pepper inspired. Two tall, rectangular video screens bordered each side of the stage, providing close-ups of Paul and his band. And the sound in the Smoothie King Center was exceptional. And in particular, the drums were mic'd so perfectly that your body actually felt it, physically, when the drummer rolled through the tom-toms. With a mix of classic Beatles songs to Paul McCartney solo classics to some appealing new catchy songs from his new album, Paul McCartney was on stage performing for nearly 3 hours. Since this was the first show of the new tour, it was impressive to witness a show that was so tight, but yet seemed so natural and unrehearsed. McCartney and his band of excellent musicians were in constant communication with each other as this inaugural show unfolded. And there were times that I wondered how much they had really rehearsed, how much they had practiced, how much had they really worked on this, how much of it was just ad-libbed. So Paul referred to John Lennon, and after performing the song Something, acknowledged George Harrison. But most impressive was the way McCartney expressed love for both. And he maintained a positive attitude about life, but acknowledged the role that they played in his life and was very positive. That was one of the things that really stood out. Paul McCartney was so positive about, well, he was just a positive person. In addition to being confident, relaxed, and kind of quirky on stage, a very peaceful vibe emanated from Sir Paul throughout the night. At one point, he talked about a new song that he had written about bullying and that it was wrong to bully, and that we all have a responsibility to stand up and denounce the bullies. After performing a song that he wrote after John died, Sir Paul made the point of saying, if you want to say something nice to somebody, say it, and don't put it off. As if to say, maybe there was something he didn't tell John that he wanted to tell him. Singer, songwriter, country, rock, Cajun fiddler Amanda Shaw went to the concert with me. And she commented, it was amazing. It gave me so much life to see such a legend at his age, still killing it, being genuine and truly loving his art. Plus, he's the king of rock and roll. At one point in the concert, the musician in Amanda was talking and made the observation that there were only five musicians on stage at the time. And she said, only five musicians are making that much music. He is for real. It's not just about the money. I just feel like you know him. And he kind of made you feel like you know him. Perhaps the most memorable thing about the concert last night was Paul McCartney himself. He did not feel like he was loved just for being one of the Beatles. He made you feel like he was loved. He made you feel like he loved you, and he was sincerely doing this for the audience. And in a sold-out arena, it is a challenge to connect personally with an audience. And Sir Paul took moments to relate stories and how he was feeling being on that stage. The concert ended with Hey Jude, but you knew there was going to be an encore. The encore was Birthday, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, Helter Skelter, and finally, Carry That Weight. At 76, Paul McCartney gave comfort to the process of getting older without losing your spirit or your desire to rock forever. Right before Paul left the stage for the last time, he said something very comforting. Paul McCartney said, goodbye. Until next time. And there was the moment that you felt like, you know what? The way Paul McCartney looks, the way he sounds, the way he acts, we have every reason to believe there will be a next time. This was part of the encore. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. I'm Scoot. This review of the concert is now posted on our website at wwl.com. And this was the final song Paul McCartney played last night. What a show. You know, for so long, and you've heard me talk about this, for so long, Duran Duran, Baton Rouge, 1984, when they were just hitting huge on MTV, that was the best concert I'd ever been to. And I've been to a lot of concerts since then, and that has maintained number one until last night. And last night was the best concert I've ever been to. It wasn't just the music. It wasn't just the setting. It was the audience. It was Paul McCartney himself. It was this relaxed, quirky guy who was just so confident. And I'm getting some texts from some people who are bitter that Paul McCartney is rich. You know, everybody who's rich is not positive. There are a lot of very bitter billionaires. Many are angry. Many are bitter. Many are hateful. So just being a billionaire doesn't make you positive. Here's a guy who could be a total a-hole and probably get away with it. But he's not. Very positive. And also, just there was something very peaceful about everything last night. And so when you put it all together, and that's what makes a great concert. It's not just the music. It's not just the band. It's everything put together. And so I have to say that Duran Duran, Baton Rouge, 84, that's now number two. Number one was Paul McCartney last night. If you were there, if you've seen him before, if you have seen somebody who was just extraordinary, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. And again, what I found so important last night was the idea that Paul McCartney's 76 years old, and he's still doing it. He's still writing new stuff. And he's on that stage, and he's performing. He looks great. He sounds great. And so for you millennials and Gen Xers and Gen Y, for those of you who are younger, man, if you basically take care of yourself, man, life can get to be better. You know, my generation, the baby boomers, we were afraid to get old. And look what we've done with old. There's Paul McCartney. There's Mick Jagger. The list goes on. Look what we've done to the maturing process. We're not giving up. Many of us are still kicking it. And so that was the real meaning of last night for me. From Livingston Parish, Bob, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm good.
That's great. Look, I just wanted to tell you, first of all, that was a great commentary that you gave towards Paul McCartney for his performances last night. And to give you a little bit more of an insight, about 2 years ago, my wife and myself were sitting back on a Saturday night. We happened to catch a interview that was devoted towards Paul McCartney and the Beatles on 48 Hours. And he was taking them all through the town and all that of where they grew up at, their recording studio, where they got their first paycheck at, and all of that. Matter of fact, they were in the studio cutting an album, and they just got finished. They come out, and if you remember the album cover where they walking across the crosswalk barefooted.
Yeah.
And he told the story about that. But the point that I want to make that goes along the lines of how you said he was just so down to earth about it, he told the people that were interviewing him on 48 Hours, come see, I'm going to show you something. They went to a little pub that they used to go to. He went in there. He gave an impromptu concert to all these people, and they didn't expect it. I mean, they were shocked. Their face, is that Paul McCartney? You could just read their lips.
Wow.
Turning around, taking pictures of him. And, I mean, it just gave me a different outlook on the way he was. And then when you had said that about his concert last night, it just reminded me so much of that, of how he's not embraced all of this glamour, so to speak, and just has grabbed hold of life and now just exhibits life, but he draws people in to enjoy life with him.
And Bob, that's a good way to put it. What was so attractive about it was that some legends act like legends, and Paul McCartney didn't. But that was one of the things that was so endearing about him. And, you know, Amanda Shaw went with me. And for somebody young who didn't grow up with the Beatles like I did, you know, she is in awe watching this legend act this way on stage. And she goes, he's just so cute. And that was the best way she could describe it. And not only talented, but just, you know, he was cute. He was kind of quirky on stage. And, you know, he had this boyish side of him. And he always had kind of had a boyish, childish look as Paul McCartney.
Yeah, like I tell everybody else, you know, I'm 56. So I tell them, man, 56 is just another number. Mentally, I still feel 29. Yeah, our bodies have gone through a lot of stuff during the 80s yes. and all that, the hard partying that we did. But I still feel young. I still get out there and do it. And for him to be 76 and to do what he's doing, man, that is awesome. My hat's off to him. And to all those people out there that are jealous or upset or bitter because he's a billionaire, hey, you could have been a billionaire, too, if you'd have devoted yourself to something in your life, hey,
Bob,
like this man did.
I have to leave it there. I've got news coming up. I'm Scoot, and we will be right back. So last night, when Paul McCartney was doing Band on the Run, covering the back screen behind the stage was the picture of the album cover, Band on the Run. You know, where they're all dressed in black, and the spotlight was on them, and James Coburn was part of that picture, Paul and Linda and everybody else in Wings. Well, what they did last night was they showed video of them taking the picture. They showed video, so it was moving. They showed video of them taking the picture, like people moving into different positions, and that was really very creative. In fact, the visuals of it were amazing. And I've gotten a text here from somebody that says, you know, blank on all of us because not everybody could go, and you're rubbing it in her face. I'm not rubbing this in your face. I'm just talking about a concert. And I don't ever want to make somebody feel badly about not going to something that I had a chance to go to. There are things that people go to that I don't have a chance to go. This is really about the bigger issue, which is baby boomers getting older and not acting their age. And that was the real message last night. And seeing somebody who still has the desire to do what he's been doing all of his life. And you got to love that. And not everybody has that opportunity. I have another text here that talks about, well, of course these musicians look great because, you know, they don't really work hard for a living. Anybody who works hard for a living looks old by the time they're 50. Well, I mean, you can't look at Keith Richards and say he doesn't look old. You can't look at Mick Jagger and say he doesn't look old. I understand the point you're making. If you do have money, if you're not doing heavy lifting, then you have a better chance of maybe looking younger. But I was impressed that among his peers, Paul McCartney looks great. A slender 5'11 frame. And it looks like he has gotten to this point, 76 in his life, without the help of Botox, without the help of facial surgery. And so it's okay. His hair is gray. That's okay. That's all right. And that, to me, is really the point of discussing this. Plus, for those of you who have been to concerts, if you weren't there last night, I'm trying to give you a sense of what it was like to be there. And if I can do that, then you've kind of gained from the experience that I had, even if you weren't there. But the goal is never to rub it in. I mean, you know, people go on vacation. They talk about their trips. They're not rubbing in the fact that they went to the beach or something like that. Here is a text that says, I didn't go last night, but I'm enjoying listening to you tell us about the concert. Okay, well, cool. That's my intent. Here's a text that says, so you and Paul McCartney are the same age. No, not quite. not quite. Here's a text. Oh, this is a text about one of the best concerts this person has ever seen. Stevie Nicks concert in NOLA was what you are describing. Peaceful, relaxed, sharing stories related to the next song. Love it. I was at that concert. In fact, I thought about the Stevie Nicks concert last night when I was at the Paul McCartney concert because of that parallel. The relaxed storytelling. Again, it's hard for me to put into words how relaxed and quirky Paul McCartney was. And this was the first concert of their 2019 North American tour, and they certainly loved being in New Orleans. And the place was packed. It was just really quite an experience. From Metairie, James, you're on WWL.
Well, hi, Scoot. Thank you so much. Yeah, I was there last night. I've been here about 20 years, moved back about 20 years ago. This is the third one. Whenever he's in town, if possible, I will try to make it. He is rock and roll legend, as you said. He's rock and roll history. The Beatles were the greatest band in rock history, and he was a key element of that along with John Lennon.
Yeah.
I'm so glad to hear you talking about it, because the last time that he went, I thoroughly enjoyed that concert. Matter, that was a three-hour concert, and you seem to either not talk about it much or to de-emphasize it. And so I'm so glad to hear you talk about how great it was, because it was remarkable.
I wasn't at that concert you're talking about. The last time I saw Paul McCartney was in the Superdome. It was just the Superdome at the time, and that would have been probably around 1991.
Gotcha. I want to say this. What made it intimate? You know, I was up in the 300 section, way up there in the nosebleed section. Mm-hmm. And if it wouldn't have been for those large video screens on the side of the stage, you could see him. You could see, you know, his expressions, how much he loved, doing what he was doing. And that really brought it home to us. Now, the only thing that negative about the show, and I said this to the sheriff, I thought the pyrotechnics were unnecessary. All the smoke and the fire and the explosions, to me, that did nothing to enhance the
show. Well, the good news about that, though, was really only one song. It was Live and Let Die.
True.
But I tell you what, for people who are at this like very simplistic concert, this the essence of Paul McCartney, when those things exploded and the fire shot up, I mean, I saw a lot of people around me jump.
Oh, sure. It was amazing. It was startling. But one more thing.
Yeah.
Someone also said, and you said, he seemed to be a totally happy man. The guy's getting paid very, very well for doing what he loves doing. It doesn't get any better in this life, Scoot.
James, I appreciate the call. But, I mean, let's remember, and I've been around a lot of them. A lot of these rock stars are a-holes. I mean, you know, don't rule that out. So, I mean, give the guy credit for being as down to earth as he is. And you know, if you've got a little money, or if you're comfortable in your life, and maybe you kick back and you think you've got it made, well, you don't have to act like it. And these are the things that I noticed in the concert, and these are the things that I try to notice in life to pass on and to generally talk about. You don't have to act like you've got it made. And he was just such a positive person. For the legend that he is, I don't remember seeing anybody at that level, at Paul McCartney. I don't remember seeing anybody at Paul McCartney's level be that way, be that personable on stage. So again, I thought that was a very commendable thing. I've got a text that asked me about, what about Led Zeppelin, Baton Rouge, 1977? That would be number three on my list of the best concerts. That was epic. I'm so honored to have been there for that one. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, our number is 260-1870, area code 504-260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Here's another one of the songs Paul McCartney played last night. And when he's singing this song, I'm thinking, okay, who writes these lyrics? Oh, blah, dee, oh, blah, da, life goes on, brah. Maybe he's kind of like from Kenner or something. Hey, brah. I'm Scoot. It's Memorial Day weekend, and we'll be back on WWL. All right, let's go to our pop culture calendar. It's Friday, May 24th. It was on this day, May 24th, 1969, Mick Jagger and singer Mary Ann Faithfull were arrested for marijuana possession at their home in London. That can't be true. That is to suggest that Mick Jagger smoked pot. I mean, really? Fake news. Fake news. It's going to be a hot Memorial Day weekend, but is it going to be as hot or even hotter than hell in New Orleans this weekend? We have a way of finding out. We'll do that right after the news at 3 o'clock. Here is a text that says, I appreciate everything that you're saying about the concert last night because I was not able to go. And I think that if you've ever been on tour, you would know that it's an exhausting way to make a living. People who are bitter or jealous get off their dead butts and go do something next time that is worthwhile. Paul is doing that for millions of people. Here's another text that says to the texter that says, making money playing full time is not hard work. Obviously, you have never been on a touring band. I mean, it is tough. Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult also to get up every time you do that. I'm sure Paul McCartney is at a point where he can space out the concerts are a couple of days apart, so he's got time to rest. But, man, I really respect these bands that are doing one-nighters. And a lot of big bands are still doing one-nighters. From Slidell, Gary, you're on WWL.
Good afternoon, Scoot. How are you today?
I'm good.
Listening to your reference about Paul McCartney, you mentioned concerts that were special.
Yeah.
And I spent many a night in the warehouse, so I can only go into that.
At least you remember.
Well, at least I'm still here, too.
That, too.
But I do remember, I was there with Fandango when they recorded Fandango.
Wow.
I was in Baton Rouge when the Rolling Stones were there. I was with Led Zeppelin 77. But there's a little-known concert that, unless you were a really, really long time ago and aware of it, was one of the better ones that I've ever been to. It was in 1976. I had just graduated from studies at LSU. I hadn't graduated yet. But I went to a concert the night I finished my last exam. It was in the Assembly Center. And about 60% of the Assembly Center was roped off. But about 40% was there with curtains all down. And it was Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, and they were just starting out.
When they were just starting, so 1970, yeah, they would have been just starting out then. I saw them at the Municipal Auditorium here about that time. And as soon as I saw Bruce Springsteen and that band, I thought, wow, this is special stuff.
Well, I heard Clarence Clemons and him and that band play. They were so tight and so good. And it was early on in their career, but it was unbelievable to see what they were already doing. Very special concert that probably very few people ever realized happened.
So. Yeah, from the beginning, Gary, Bruce Springsteen was very special. Here's a text that says, Scoot, I'm 27. Who is this Paul McCartney guy you're talking about? I just tuned in your show. I'll have to figure out a way to explain who Paul McCartney is. Here's a text from somebody who says, I love the fireworks. You know, there were some fireworks and some explosions and fire with Live and Let Die. When they hit that boom, Live and Let Die part, yeah, it exploded. And up to that point, it had been a rather mild concert. But that's the only time they really had a big display of stuff. Other than that, the whole night was just really the essence of Paul McCartney. On our pop culture calendar, it was on this day, May 24th, 2006, Taylor Hicks beat out Catherine McPhee to win the fifth season of American Idol. Remember Taylor Hicks? This was one of his big hits.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.